This is Poetry on Northland Morning, a celebration of the language, written word, and sense of places, past and present, that make up our community. Jennifer Brady learned Spanish growing up in Denver. She had to play with the kids in her neighborhood. But little did she know that she was laying the groundwork for the life-changing experience that was to come.
I have a ton of great friends whose family spoke Spanish, and I have these great memories of being at their homes and just growing up, hearing the language and knowing that it was part of something that I respected and I wanted to learn more about. So that's sort of how it started, just being exposed to it at a young age and starting to study. In college, I was studying English, and I thought, oh, I wanted to go into journalism. I loved reading and writing. And then I studied abroad in Spain, and that changed everything. And I thought, I can do all of this that I want to do, but in Spanish. I knew that I wanted to study abroad somewhere where I could practice my Spanish and really, just completely immerse myself in the culture and the language. My husband, who was my partner even back then, he, in high school, he had studied in Mexico every January. He went to this cool high school where every January students could do a month-long sort of block experience. And he worked hard. He saved his money. And every January, he went down to Mexico. And so he was the one who really encouraged me to study abroad. And he said, you know, now's the time. You should do it. And I had a lot of experience with the Mexican culture, and I'd always wanted to travel in Europe. And so Spain was really calling me, and I went abroad. And man, it is really a life-transforming experience. Now, as a professor, I take students to Salamanca, Spain. And last summer, I was there with them in the month of June. And just being able to see them have that same experience that I had 20 years ago, it's just so inspiring and just so beautiful. And it gives me hope for our world, because it does transform how you think about yourself, but also your community and also the world. Being able to experience firsthand different rhythms of life and different textures of how people live. And, you know, our students really do end up bringing back some things that were important to them during their study abroad experience. In Spain, you walk everywhere. It's very rare to drive, especially if you live in the city center or you take public transportation. And students have told me that, you know, even here in Duluth in the winter, they try to walk more because just being outside and being in community is an important piece for them now. So through other cultures, we can learn more about ourselves and more about who we are and what sort of lives that we want to live and how we want that to feel every day. It's beautiful. I think language is this really slippery ontological system that gets us closer to knowing ourselves more and knowing others more, but it always creates distance and it always creates complication, right? Because language can never be perfect. Language can never represent that object that you wish to have represent, right? It's this really mysterious, beautiful thing. And your maternal language that's the language of your mother. Having that metaphorical maternal connection to language is amazing. Of course, I'm a big advocate of learning more languages. And I do think as a country, we should be placing more value on being multilingual and multicultural for so many different reasons. I think we're up against a lot of obstacles in doing that. I was just reading a recent article, and the scholar said something that's pretty striking. He said, being monolingual is the illiteracy of the 21st century. I do think that there's so much room to learn about other cultures, and language helps us get there. I wish that our students, our children, were learning language from a small age. I wish that there were more opportunities for programs in non-English schools where students could just learn language as part of their formation, because it does open up all of these doors, and it does help us understand that these sort of false premises that English as a central language or priority language, that really is a false ideal.
The poem Jennifer selected for today, she fell in love with in its original Spanish. She was equally captivated by the story of the poet, Federico García Lorca, who grew up under the Moorish influence of southern Spain and then spent time with the avant-garde Spanish surrealists of the budding surrealist art movement.
in the late 1920s, he goes to New York to learn English. So crazy to think about leaving Granada, Spain in the late 1920s and going to one of the biggest cities in the world. He then writes about that experience. So this poem called Dawn, or the word in Spanish is Aurora, the poetic voice, which we can assume is Lorca, describes being in New York City, how hard it is and difficult it is. And there's a lot of surrealism happening, a lot of really dark metaphors about this huge urban city. And in this all, we see that García Lorca is really exploring the self in the city. He's feeling lonely. He's feeling like he doesn't fit in. And he's understanding more and more what it's like to be a marginalized person in a community maybe where you don't fit in. So this poem was written in Spanish in 1930. I actually have never read the English translation until I prepared for today. It's beautiful as well, but it's the Spanish. This poem has always spoken to me because of that really unique background of Lorca, sort of starting out with folklore and flamenco and writing about southern Spain and then going on to be influenced by the surrealists. So I think in this poem we see definitely some very striking surrealist images that he describes here. Lorca has a sad ending, though. After this explosion of experimental art with the avant-garde movement in Spain, Spain experiences the Civil War, right, which most people consider the prelude to the Second World War. The war starts in 1936 in the summer. On August 19th, 1936, García Lorca is killed by the fascists, and we can suppose that he's buried in a mass grave. There's many of them in Spain. He died before his 40th birthday. He didn't have a chance to write more, and in fact, this book of poetry about New York was actually published after his death, and it was one of his last works. The name of this poem is Aurora, and this is by Federico García Lorca. La aurora de Nueva York tiene cuatro columnas de cieno. The New York dawn has four columns of mud and a hurricane of black doves that paddle in putrescent waters. The New York dawn grieves along the immense stairways, seeking amidst the groins spikenards of fine-drawn anguish. The dawn comes and no one receives it in his mouth, for there no morn or hope is possible. Occasionally, coins in furious swarms perforate and devour abandoned children. The first to come out understand in their bones that there will be no paradise nor amours stripped of leaves. They know that they are going to the mud of figures and laws, to artless games, to fruitless sweat. The light is buried under chains and noises, an impudent challenge of rootless science. Throughout the suburbs, sleepless people stagger as though just delivered from a shipwreck of blood.
De un naufragio de sangre.
Poetry is produced at KUMD by Lisa Johnson, with help from Chris Harwood and from an original concept by Lisa Fitzpatrick. You can find links to the poets and poetry on this show on our website, along with the complete poem read in its original language. Poetry is supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.